Vents Day is our weekly feast for discussing a couple of topics in the news. You get to vent your spleen politely at 800-838-3760 or jx@jeffnet.org. This week's topics, cabs versus Uber, and compromise in Washington and how possible that might be in the wake of this election. So cabs versus Uber, compromise in Washington, our Vents Day topics, 800-838-3760 or jx@jeffnet.org. Let's start with the issue on wheels. Uber, Lyft, and similar ride-sharing services for money and their impact on the existing taxi services that also give people rides for money. Uber is popular in lots of places and trying to establish a foothold in Eugene. Would-be riders hire a private car and pay for it through smartphones. Taxis licensed by the city have fees and regulations to deal with that the likes of Uber do not. The city of Eugene ordered Uber to stop operating 2 weeks ago or face fines. As of yesterday, Uber still lists Eugene as one of the cities in which it operates. Portland still bans Uber's town car service, as do other cities. Some European cities saw strikes by traditional taxi drivers in protest of Uber and similar services. Now it's your turn to weigh in. Should Uber and Lyft and the other so-called ride-sharing services have to follow all the same rules as cab companies? If not, which regulations should not apply to the ride-sharing services? And for that matter, let's get some personal stories in here. Have you used Uber or Lyft, and how do they compare to the traditional taxi companies? 800-838-3760 to talk about ride-sharing services on Vents Day, jx@jeffnet.org. Item two, of course, election-based, and it's something of a returning champion from the last few elections, in which we got a Democratic president and at least one House of Congress in Republican hands. Both President Obama and soon-to-be Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell said nice things a week ago about working for common goals. The usual pundits are seeing an opportunity for Congress and the White House to at least get a few small bills passed. We have seen this play before, haven't we? A brief hope for compromise in Washington. What's your take? If we talk about compromise, is that really meeting in the middle? Or in your mind, is it kissy face of the cameras now and back to the knives very soon? Compromise in Washington, cabs versus Uber, our topics on Vents Day. What do you think? Any more opportunity for compromise than existed before? Is there more incumbent upon Republicans to do now that they have a larger majority in the House in addition to control of the Senate coming up in January? There's this talk of the responsibility to govern that comes with having this much control over Congress. What do you think about the prospects for using that capability, the numbers anyway, to get usable legislation passed that won't end up just getting scratched out by the veto of President Obama? Who should be leaning over to compromise in Washington? 800-838-3760. Anywhere in the listening area, in the Rogue Valley, it's the same number, 800-838-3760. Email address is jx@jeffnet.org. And I've noticed with what's been going on in Eugene for a while now that a lot of comments coming in, particularly in the Register Guard, after articles and opinion pieces about the disadvantage that people feel the cab companies are being put at by the likes of Uber. And a lot of boo-hoo coming in the comment section from people saying, you know, the last time I got a ride from Uber, it was great, it was clean, it was fast, I walked in on time, I will never use a cab again, versus the people who certainly can see, hey, look, these people paid for their licenses, they run, they have to have the insurance and all the other accoutrements of running a cab business. Uber is just making life hard for them. Where do you come down in an argument? 800-838-3760 or jx@jeffnet.org. Looking at a couple of editorials about this, this is from USA Today from a couple of months ago, talking about the ride-sharing services. At its best, the experience could be almost everything you'd want if you were designing a new taxi service. You can see on a smartphone map where the cars are. You get confirmation that one is on its way to you. Because you can rate every ride, the driver has an incentive to keep the car clean and give you good service. And because the drivers also rate passengers, the good behavior incentive works both ways. No cash changes hands. You register your credit card with Uber and the fare is automatically charged. Surge pricing can spike fares at busy times, and that helps bring cars onto the street. The trip isn't metered, but you can see a fare estimate in advance. Many customers love Uber and its brethren, writes USA Today, but taxi companies and regular cabbies generally do not. The upstarts have cut into business and lured away drivers. What's especially maddening for traditional drivers is that Uber X, this is the lower cost version, Uber X drivers often have to comply with few or none of the expensive and demanding government rules that cover regular cabbies. The editorial goes on, amid the wave of controversy, two principles ought to drive the policy process going forward. One is that any business that carries people for hire should be subject to some basic rules to protect the public. Under heavy pressure, Uber has increased insurance coverage, but its background checks look back just 7 years, and it appears to accept the safety checks that apply only to personal vehicles rather than commercial ones. The second is that more competition is better than less. Uber is usefully disrupting an industry that in many cities is desperately in need of disruption. Regulation has too often protected politically connected companies and artificially restricted the supply of drivers through the sale of costly medallions and other means. The best outcome for riders would be if Uber adopts the most important passenger protections and the entrenched taxi companies become more Uber-like in their adoption of technology and devotion to customer service. Whether you live in Eugene or not and are experiencing what's going on with Uber there and have had a chance to compare that with the traditional cab companies, might be a moot point. I mean, how many people actually use cab companies over the course of a year, particularly in a region like ours where there's a lot of rural area and not a lot of public transportation options within those rural areas? But let's talk about what's the proper thing here, proper thing for the consumer looking for a decent ride in a clean car in a reasonable amount of time for a reasonable rate. Versus regulations set up to protect people already in that business. And we're talking about the taxi cab companies in this case. Join us on the exchange with your thoughts about Uber and other ride sharing services versus cab companies. 800-838-3760, 800-838-3760. By email, jx@jeffnet.org. Our other subject today, of course, compromise in Washington and whether it is any more likely now that the Republicans will control two houses of Congress instead of one, albeit while there's a Democrat in the White House. We have an editorial here from the B newspapers in California from just this week titled New Hope for Compromise in Washington. The editorial reads, maybe Barack Obama and Republicans who won control of the U.S. Senate will really compromise for the common good. Maybe the president and congressional leaders of both parties will emerge from their first post-election sit-down Friday all smiles and end the dysfunction. And maybe Obama will become BFFs with presumptive Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell over glasses of Kentucky bourbon and become golfing buddies with House Speaker John Boehner. We're trying to be optimistic, but the track record is not encouraging, writes the Bee. What could easily happen instead is two more years of conflict and gridlock. The initial signs are not good when Obama immediately pledges to issue an executive order giving legal status to some illegal immigrants, and when Boehner vows to keep trying to kill Obamacare. First, they should focus on important business where reasonable deals can be made, rebuilding roads and bridges, simplifying the federal tax code, boosting foreign trade, helping students afford college, and more. After Republicans rout in Tuesday's election, they will have at least 52 of the 100 seats in the Senate and at least 247 of 435 in the House. With that majority, the GOP can no longer be the party of no. Party of no, in quotes. The Fresno Bee goes on, Republicans have to prove they can govern responsibly because candidates ran mostly against Obama rather than putting forward an actual policy agenda. They can't claim a mandate for sweeping change. If Republicans overreach and try to roll back progress on health care, Wall Street reforms and the environment, Obama ought to use his veto pen, which has been gathering dust during his presidency. At the same time, the president must face his dismal approval ratings and the fact that many supporters chose to sit out this election. He has to act differently, too, to have any hope of building his legacy. That from the Bee newspapers, Sacramento Bee, Fresno Bee, etc., in an editorial about the opportunity for compromise in Washington. Your thoughts about compromise? Who should be reaching a little further than they did before, if anyone? Are you happy with the way things are set up, where Congress is all Republican, the White House in the hands of a Democrat? Is there greater responsibility for Republicans to govern? This is something the National Review calls the governing trap. I'll explain that in just a few moments. But let's get your thoughts about compromise in Washington and the prospects for it as one topic on Vents Day. The other topic, about Uber and Lyft and the ride-sharing services and the potential danger they face to taxi companies and whether you're fine with that or whether you think the disruption is a little too much for an established business. Join us on the exchange at 800-838-3760, 800-838-3760, or by email jx@jeffnet.org. Dennis and Eugene, welcome to the exchange on Vents Day.
Hey, thanks. So here's what I think. I don't think that we're going to get any more compromise. And I don't think our country wants compromise.
Really?
Yeah, I think our country is totally either right or left. And, you know, I have relatives that live in the Midwest. I have relatives in California and relatives in Florida. And if you talk to people who come from different parts of the country, you can see that they have what they think compromise means is that you do what they want.
So compromise is you accept my terms.
Yeah, that's, mm-hmm. we'll compromise. You're just going to have to do it our way, okay?
Uh-huh.
And, you know, I found that even in my own life, when I've belonged to clubs or sit on boards of directors in different situations and things like that, it's really hard, even in a small situation, to get compromise. I mean, even in families, husbands and wives have, when it's to their advantage to compromise, a lot of times they just can't. And so I don't think that our country is interested in compromise. I think that the best thing that we can hope for is that we either have all Republicans running stuff or we have all Democrats running it, and then after 4 years, if we're not too apathetic that we can't get out and vote, why, we can see what they did, and if they didn't do a good job, then we can boot them out and bring the other side in. And just as a little side note, I noticed that America is the second most ignorant country in the world.
Ignorant in what measurement?
I don't know. They just had this deal on the internet that they did a big survey of, I guess, about their country.
Uh-huh. All right. You know, so just basic information about civics.
Yeah, basic
and how the government...
information about your country.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, over half the people in America didn't know whether the Congress, the House of Representatives, was in Democratic hands or Republican hands. Over half of the Americans in the country didn't know that.
Hmm.
And well, the only country that is more ignorant than us is the Italians. And, you know, I don't have any trouble believing that, because I think, you know, like if you listen to people and somebody will say, well, they have a really good health care plan in Germany and maybe we should look at it and use some of the good ideas or something like that. The first thing you'll hear from people say, we're not Germans, we're Americans, blah, 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 you know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care if it is a good idea, I'd rather just suffer.
Huh.
And that's sort of like American pride thing, is to be, even if you have to be miserable, it's better than saying that you're going to take a good idea from somebody else. So that gets back to that whole idea of compromise.
All right, thanks for that. Always good to talk to you, Dennis. And I'm looking at what he's talking about here, because it was reported around Halloween about 2 weeks ago. Let's see. It's a UK pollster, Ipsos Mori, interviewed 11,527 people in 14 countries. It's the Index of Ignorance. And yes, America number two to Italy, and how little we understand some of the statistics that track the most basic contours of our society. We could talk about that a little further as we go through the program. But isn't that part of the issue, though? If you don't know much about the way your country operates, you are not operating from a position of facts and figures. You're operating from a position of opinion, which, of course, is what the political class relies upon, isn't it? I mean, tell me about all the commercials and bits of mail that you got during the course of this campaign, and how much they tried to appeal to your sense of reason, and how much they just tried to flick buttons involving emotions. What are your thoughts about the opportunity now that the election is over for actual compromise in Washington? 800-838-3760, 800-838-3760, jx@jeffnet.org. This is Vents Day on the Exchange. That is one topic. Our other topic is the ride-sharing services, Uber and Lyft, and the disruption they are providing to the taxi cab industry. The city of Eugene has told Uber to stop operating in the city or it will be fined, but that's been about 2 weeks now and no response from Uber yet. Uber still lists Eugene as one of its cities. What do you think about the way that's going? That's our other topic on Vents Day. You can talk about one, you can talk about both. Vent your spleen politely. 800-838-3760. Or jx@jeffnet.org. Welcome back to Gene in Grants Pass.
Okay.
Go ahead.
As for compromise, Obama has no idea what compromise is. Like he said, when the Republicans were trying to get him to negotiate and compromise, him and Harry Reid both said, it's my way or else. And I think Obama is going to do like he has been doing. You don't go my way, I'll just break the law and do it anyway.
All right, two things. Number one, where did Obama not compromise? Where was the big one where he said my way, the highway, and where did he break the law?
When he was supposed to be, well, the Republicans, during the time that the government was being shut down, the Republicans were trying to get him to the table to discuss it. He refused. Him and Harry Reid both. The Republicans sat at a table, and I seen it on the news, and they just sat around the table. No Democrats showed up, and as for the particular parties, I don't care for either one of them because I don't trust neither one of them.
Mm-hmm.
But as for breaking the law, Congress was in session when he appointed someone to office, which was against the law because the appointment to the office was supposed to have went through the Congress, and he just appointed them anyway. And
well, see, this is where the where
saying that Congress was in session, so.
But this is, you know, he considered that a recess appointment. I'm going to get into some of the facts and figures here. Gene, thanks for your call. It was a recess appointment, which, of course, the case ended up before the Supreme Court because what Congress was doing was continuing to have pro forma sessions where one or two people would show up, call the Senate to order, say no business before the Senate. We are now adjourned. Is that, in fact, a session? Apparently now, in the eyes of the Supreme Court, yeah, I mean, I suppose on that basis, yes, you can say Obama broke the law as interpreted by the Supreme Court. But when is Congress in recess? When is it not? And much can be said, too, about movement on appointments. Let's get your thoughts in here. Let's go to Ryan in Eugene. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Vince Day. We're talking about compromise and Uber.
Hey, good morning, Jeffrey. How are you doing?
You are
way too nice. But anyway, boy, the whole ignorance, and I really enjoyed Dennis's comment. I have to admit that, you know, one of the things that I was chewing on as you proposed these topics is the word compromise. So if you're going to say something like, if you do this, it'll compromise your safety or it'll compromise your health, it'll compromise the wellness of your family, you're going to look at it in a very different light than in terms of compromise and your bending over backwards metaphor in terms of, you know, the roles in compromise. And poor President Obama has been beaten about the head from both sides because he has, in my opinion, been way too willing to compromise. I'm a fan of single payer, and so Obamacare would not have been my choice. So, you know, in the left-right-center conversation, I think, you know, we get very confused about what constitutes compromise and whether it's a good thing or not.
Mm-hmm.
But the Uber conversation is another version of compromise. I just don't think that technological solutions without any really clear reflection is a good compromise. I would love to have there be a well-regulated, safe, you know, way to travel back from the Eugene airport or to travel around downtown Eugene or whatever, you know, in terms of the ability to, you know, grab a ride. But just the sort of laissez-faire Uber model is kind of scary to me, I have to admit.
All right. Thanks for that, Ryan. Good to talk to you. Let's go to Jim in Grants Pass. Welcome to the Exchange on Vince Day.
Yes, good morning. I'm going to make this very quick. Whatever you do, don't think of a white elephant in the room. Now, compromise. Now, whatever you do, do not think of the word weakness. Do you understand what I'm saying?
I think so, that compromise is seen as weakness by far too
many
people.
Yeah, so much. Any woman, especially when she even thinks, well, I've compromised with my husband, my boss, she's emotionally showing weakness. It's unavoidable. It's the word itself.
All right, so we need a different word for compromise. Thanks for that, Jim. Good to talk to you. Let's go to George in Wairika. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Vince Day. Compromise in Washington and Uber versus taxis are topics.
Let's go to the compromise. Basically, according to Karl Rove, what they're looking for in the Republican Party is to privatize everything, eliminate all rules and regulations, and get rid of all social welfare programs. So how do you compromise with that? What happened to Matthew 25? You know, how do you what is the service and the need for a government or people, or for that matter, getting into heaven? That is to clothe, feed, and shelter. Those are the only ways a person can get into heaven, unless you want to do a rich man, poor man with a camel in the eye of a needle.
All right. Thanks for that, George. Appreciate it. Jan in Grants Pass, welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Vince Day.
Hi, my name is Jan.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to comment on the fact that our government was designed in the Constitution to work best with checks and balances, mm-hmm. which means the Supreme Court, presidential office, and the Congress. And I think that the designers of our Constitution planned very well in terms of checks and balances, that we could operate with the president of one party and the Congress being of another party. It's important to our democracy to have a variety of perspectives. In terms of compromise, I think that the electorate has punished several representatives that have been willing to compromise and work with the party across the aisle.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure we understand that compromise begins with us individually. And I would like to see more of that in my community, Grants Pass, mm-hmm. which has really struggled with safety in our community.
Sure, with the lack of funding for the sheriff's office, yes.
Absolutely.
Lots to be said. So individual flexibility, I think, leads to greater flexibility at all levels.
I think that is the best case, and that each person, in order to compromise, must be willing to look first at the perspective of the other person and not simply snap their fingers and say, you are so wrong about that.
All right. Thanks for that, Jan. Appreciate it. Let's go to Bill in Eugene. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Vince Day.
Hi there. Thanks for having me. I have a point of interest I'd like to make. It was really interesting hearing about the intelligence of the people, the governments in the world, the people knowing how their governments work. And from what I understood, he said, we were only second behind Italy, and Italy was first, and we were second. And here's a point of interest you might be finding. Italy is the second most religious country in Europe, followed only by Spain, and Spain is 28% Christian. United States is 65% Christian. And you always wonder why people are trying, the Republicans and Democrats are always trying to go to the Bible Belt. Maybe people follow religion so much and do what they say and don't even check out the world themselves and even how their governments work.
All right. Thanks for that, Bill. Appreciate it. Again, it's an Ipsos Mori poll, if you're going to go look for it on the Internet. Ipsos Mori looked at the level of ignorance in countries, 14 major countries, and in terms of the ignorance, when you get to the bottom, Italy is on the bottom at number 14. We're just above it at number 13. A couple of emails here. Joe in Talent says, sadly, nothing will get done. 5 minutes after the election, the Republicans started making threats. Over the next 2 years, we will see a series of legislative booby traps set out to position the Republicans to take the White House in 2016. We will see government at its worst. Witness the climate deal with China President Obama just announced. Republican leadership started the old chant of Obama being a job killer, regardless of the facts or even knowing what the terms were. That is from Joe in Talent. Final email here from Jay. Don't see what town he's from, but this is in response to the discussion of Uber versus the cab companies. Jay emails that he would like to start a sports bar on wheels. So we'll leave it at that final comment. Thanks so much for calling. Pam and Dexter, my apologies to you. We've reached the end of the hour. This has been Vince Day on the Jefferson Exchange. We'll do it again in a week with a couple of new topics. Thanks.